Proverbs chapter 4. This doesn't have anything to do with my message tonight, but y'all been watching the news, seeing all that's going on over in Israel. And Pastor Ross and I were talking about this before the sermon, but I tell you folks, I'm listening for the trumpet. It's got to be soon. And I tell you, it's amazing. If you look, I saw, I think, Monday night on the world news where I think 24 Israelis were killed, and then when Israel retaliated, there was 200 of the other group killed there. And I tell you, it's just the Lord still has his hand on his people. Amen. And as Pastor reminded me tonight, you know, it's our job to pray for him. And the Lord commands us to pray for Israel. So I tell you, folks, just watch and keep looking, keep listening for the trumpet. Let's keep doing what's right. Jesus is coming. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Let's all stand, please. Well, it's Wednesday night Bible study, so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pick a passage from the Bible here, and we're going to look at these verses. We're going to examine them. We're going to study them tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 20 through 27. The Bible says this: "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, God, and thank you for the book of Proverbs, Lord, the wisdom it contains. And God, I pray that you'd help us as we dissect this passage tonight and take the Bible principles that are here, and Lord, help us to apply them to our lives. And Lord, help us not to be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers, Lord. And we thank you for all you've done. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I was studying this passage and looking at it and studying it and meditating upon it, I was looking through there, and the title of the Bible study tonight is this: A Prescription from the Great Physician. A prescription from the great physician. And this prescription is not affected by the rising cost of health care, amen? And you don't have to have your insurance card to get this prescription. You don't have to have a copay on this one, okay? But a prescription from the great physician. And, you know, I don't know about you folks, but I don't like being sick. In fact, I hate being sick. And rarely do I get sick. I think last December over Christmas I was sick. That's the first time I've been sick for probably 2 years. And I enjoy health. And I think most people enjoy health. And I tell you, you know, it's important for us not to take our health for granted. And I know many folks in this room wish they had better health. But, you know, every day I thank God for giving me a mind to think with and eyes to see with and ears to hear with and hands in the back to work with and feet to walk on. And, folks, we need to be thankful for our health. And, you know, but you know, I don't like being sick. But, you know, just like enjoying our physical health, you know, God wants us to be spiritually healthy. No, God doesn't want us to be spiritually sick. You know, that's a problem with a lot of our churches today, a lot of Christians today. They're very weak. They're very anemic. They're sick. They're spiritually sick. And but as always, we can turn to the Bible and we can find the answers. Folks, God has the answers. The Bible does have the answers. It's just a matter of us willing to study and look and then apply it to our lives. And God gives us some things that we're going to look at tonight that will help us literally keep us healthy spiritually. And also, folks, you know, when you apply Bible principles, they affect your life in a physical way also. And so we're going to look at this tonight, this subject. And first thing I want to do, I want to make a few observations from this passage, and then we're going to pull the principles out of here and look at those, okay? So first observation I want to look at is this, is that Solomon, who is writing this passage here, he is writing to someone who means a great deal to him. Look with me in verse 20, if you will. It says here, it says those first two words, "my son." And you know, Solomon, throughout a lot of the book of Proverbs, he's writing to his son here. And, you know, I like those two words, "my son." Praise the Lord, I'm blessed to have two sons. And, in fact, I think I got a ring. Am I ringing? Can y'all hear me? Or is it just me? All right. Sound like I got a ring? Okay. May just be me up here. But the Lord has blessed us with two sons. And it's funny because any time now that Elias does something he shouldn't do, Faith is always like, "Daddy, look what your son is doing." And it's not Elias or my brother. It's your son. I wonder where he heard that from. She heard that from. I don't know. But so Solomon is writing to someone who means a great deal to him. He's writing to his son. And you know what, folks? You know, especially you young people, you know there's a lot of people who you mean a lot to as young people. You know, this thing that young people go around saying today, well, nobody cares about me. And you know what, folks, that's just not true. And especially young people here sitting in this room tonight. You know, young people, you got a lot of people care about you. Parents care about you. Your spiritual authority care about you. Those who have invested, your Sunday school teachers, your school teachers, folks. Young people, there's a lot of people who care about you. And you know what, folks? There's a lot of people who care about us as adults, too. And you know that, of course, we mean a lot to God. And we're His children. Folks, have you ever stopped and really just thought about and meditated upon what it took for us to be God's children? There's a mighty price paid for us to be God's children. And folks, we mean a lot to God. We are important to Him. I mean, if He was willing to give His only Son for us, don't you think we're pretty important to Him? We're very important to God. And we mean a great deal to God. And I thought that was interesting here that Solomon, the principles he's about to address here are to someone who meant a great deal to him. So that's observation number one. And observation number two is this. Solomon commanded his son to listen to him. Look with me in verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings." You know, Solomon commands his son. He's like, "Son, I'm getting ready to tell you something important, and I want you to listen here." Now, in there, the word attend, it comes from the Hebrew, and it means to prick up the ears. It means to give heed. It means to incline. And the word incline there means to stretch forth or out. It means take aside, to turn aside, cause to yield. Solomon thinks it's important. He's like, "Son, I want you to listen with your ears. You need to hear something here." And so Solomon commanded his son to listen to him. And you know, blessed is the Christian who will decide that he's going to listen. You know, folks, none of us know it all, do we? And woe to the young person who thinks they know it all. Woe to anybody who thinks they know it all. And you know what, folks? You know, it's a good day in our lives when we realize that we can learn from everybody. And Brother Hiles used to say, "All men are my teachers." And you know what, folks? We can always learn something from everybody. And you know what? We don't know it all. And there's always something we can learn. So Solomon here commanded his son to listen to him. And then third observation is this. It was not only to be heard. Now, this is very interesting. But also, it was to be seen and pondered in the heart. Look at this, verse 21. It says this, "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Did you hear that? Let them not depart from thine eyes. What's he talking about there? Let them, he says, the next verse tells us what he's talking about. My sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Well, how do you see what someone's saying? You see it when it's written down. And he says here, "Son," he says, "let them not depart from thine eyes." And then beyond that, "keep them in the midst of thine heart." Notice what Solomon is commanding here. He said, "I want you to listen with your ears. I want you to see with your eyes. Then I want you to ponder it in your heart." You know, folks, that's the aspect we need to take to the Bible. You know, how many times are we guilty of just reading the Bible and check our box for the day. And, you know, I read my Bible for the day. Folks, it goes beyond that. God wants us to do more than just read His Word so we can check a box. Now, you know, if that's the only reason you're reading the Bible, I'm glad you're reading the Bible. But it goes beyond that. God wants us to listen, He wants us to see, and then He wants us to ponder. So it's very important what Solomon is about to address here, okay? So first of all, we said that Solomon is writing to someone who means a great deal to him. Number two, Solomon commanded his son to listen to him. And number three, it was not only to be heard, but also seen and pondered in the heart. And then last observation says here, keeping these principles will lead to not only spiritual but physical health. Look here at verse 22. Notice what it says here. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now this word life means, it means to be alive. Now this is interesting. It means be old and quick. Those aren't two words that usually go together, are they? To be old and quick. But you know what? That's what it's talking about there. It's talking about running. It's talking about springing. That's what that means there, to be alive. And for they are life unto those that find them. And then health, it means a medicine or a cure. It means a healing and a remedy. Folks, what he's about to address here is very important. It's important for, number one, our spiritual health, but also this can affect our physical health also. So it's very important here, okay? So what we're about to talk about can affect us spiritually and physically. So let's take a look at this here. Let's look at these principles that are found in this passage, and let's dissect them tonight. First of all, this is the first thing that Solomon is talking to his son about here in verse number 23. First three words,
keep thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The first principle we're going to look at is here, simply those three words. Keep your heart. You know, folks, first of all, let's ask ourselves, what is it talking about? What is your heart? Okay? Your heart, it's not just a muscle that beats inside of your chest. That's not what he's talking about here. Okay? He says, when he says to keep your heart is referring to the center, your center of everything. It's your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. It's the part of you that is you. It's your personality. It's who you are. Okay? And Solomon says here, to keep your heart. Now notice here, he doesn't say just to keep your heart. He says to keep it with all diligence. You know, keep here, when you look that up in the Greek, it's a defensive term, meaning to guard, to protect, to maintain. That's what he's talking about there. He's talking about to protect it, to defend it. And diligence is to guard it with importance. Folks, it's important. God's interested in how that we take care of this thing called our heart here. God wants us to keep it, to guard it. Not just to guard it just half-heartedly or just to kind of mediocrely guard it. He says to guard it with all diligence. It's very, very important that you guard your heart. Why do we need to protect our heart so much? Well, it answers it for us there. Notice what it says. For out of it are the issues of life. Very important. You know, from your heart comes the issues of life. The issues, now notice this here. This is interesting once again. The word issue, it means your borders or your boundaries. That's what that means. The reason God says to keep your heart, because God knows that when your heart goes, the rest of you is gone with it. Because where your heart is, the Bible tells us that, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. God says guard your heart because if that's where your boundaries come from. That's where your boundaries in life issue from, is from your heart. You must especially guard your heart because your heart is what you'll be, is where you'll set your boundaries at. And that's why God says guard it with all diligence. All right, let me illustrate this for you tonight, okay? Brother Keith, why don't you come up here, brother? And I got something here, and I'm sure you're going to know what this is. You know what this is? It's a helmet, that's right. Now, I want you to put it on, but you got to be careful because when I pulled it out of my shed today, there was a bird nest in there. So I tried to clean it out the best I could. You might get a few little twigs on your head, but that's okay. All right? I want you to put my helmet on, okay? That's my four-wheeler helmet, and that thing has saved my noggin several times, all right? So put that thing on there. All right. Yeah, you look good in a motorcycle helmet, okay? All right, I want you to turn around here. I want you to stand down here. All right, come down here and stand right here. All right, now, that helmet, Keith, is used to protect your head, right? Is that thing supposed to protect your head? You sure? Is it going to protect your head? Is it? Did that hurt? What do you tell me? Did it hurt? Does that hurt? It doesn't hurt, does it? I can sit here and bang on your head like that, and that doesn't hurt, does it? Now, it may vibrate a little bit, but it doesn't. It's not going to crack your skull open, is it? Of course it's not. Now, what you don't know is that your mom and dad tried to pay me to do this without the helmet, but I told them they could do that, okay? All right, you can take it off, okay? All right. And what was the purpose of this helmet right here? It's to protect your head, isn't it? Okay, you can be seated. Thank you. All right? It's to protect your head from getting hurt. All right? Now, my wife would say if I wouldn't get on my four-wheeler, I wouldn't have to have a helmet, but the helmet is to protect your head. Now, what would have happened if I would have smacked Keith on the head with that baseball bat without the helmet? I probably would have knocked him senseless, and then we'd be calling the ambulance, and there'd be blood everywhere because the helmet protected his head. You know, folks, that's what God's trying to tell us to do. We need to protect our heart. Now, of course, God's not talking about, you know, put a little protective helmet over your heart. But in a way, with Bible principles, you can do that. Okay? You know, Pharaoh got in trouble with God when he hardened his heart. You know, Solomon, you know when his problem began is when his wives turned away his heart from God. Notice what it says. He turned away his what? His heart. Where his boundaries were set at. You know, Samson got in trouble when he told Delilah all that was in his heart. That's where he got in trouble at. Because his heart was left unguarded. He was not protecting his heart. He let his guard down on his heart. And you know, folks, we're commanded to guard our heart because you know what? There's some enemies who want your heart. You know the devil wants your heart, folks. Satan, if you're saved, can he take you to hell, yes or no? No, he cannot. He cannot take your soul. That's what he wants, first of all, is your soul. Okay? And he wants your soul. But if he can't get your soul, guess what his next target is? It's your heart. Because he knows if he's got your heart, he has you. And that's why Solomon urges his son here, son, keep your heart. Defend your heart. Keep your heart. Because you know what, folks? Satan wants your heart. You know who else wants your heart? The wrong crowd wants your heart. Hollywood wants your heart. The wrong music crowd wants your heart. The world wants your heart, folks. You know, they spend millions of dollars, probably billions, propagating their godless material and godless lyrics and godless music. Why? For the hearts of man. That's what they're after. They're after the hearts of man. And folks, people out there are giving their hearts away to the world. It's very, very obvious what's going on. But you know, I think maybe more dangerous than Satan, and maybe even more dangerous than the wrong crowd. You know who else wants your heart? You want your heart. You know who wants my heart? I want my heart. We ourselves want our own hearts, don't we? We want to do what we want to do. And you know, sometimes when the devil, he can't get us from a direct attack, he'll try the subtle attacks. And you know what? Sometimes, maybe a Christian young person or a Christian who's been saved for a long time, they may not be able to let the devil get their heart. And they may guard themselves from the wrong crowd in Hollywood, the wrong music crowd. But you know what? They themselves own their heart. And they're not willing to give their heart to God. And that's a dangerous situation. Folks, that's why we got to guard our heart. From it come our boundaries. And we must guard it because, folks, there's an enemy. We ourselves want our heart. There's an enemy out there who wants our heart. So that was principle number one. Solomon says to son, he says, son, for spiritual health, you must guard your heart. All right, let's look at principle number two here. Okay, first of all, it was guard your heart. Let's read verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Number one was guard your heart. Number two is control your mouth. Now, folks, I'm putting this right down the bottom shelf where we all live. All of us seem to have problems with this one, don't we? There's been times where maybe we've said some things we shouldn't have said. We're all guilty of that, okay? We can sit there and look all spiritual we want to look, and I can put a suit and tie on and look all spiritual, but you know what, folks? We've all said things we shouldn't have said. Because we live in this sack of flesh called a body, all right? Turn with me over to the book of James. Book of James, y'all know where I'm going, but these are good verses. We need to hear these verses. James chapter 3. You know, sometimes God just puts certain things in the Bible to humble us. And James chapter 3, these verses are a good one here. James chapter 3. Find my place here. Let's read verse 5 and 6. James 3, 5 and 6. Of course, it talks about the power of how the horse bit is for the bridle of the horse and how the rudder turneth the ships. And then he comes down to verse 5 and says this, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Did you hear what God said? He said, when your tongue's used for wrong, it's set on fire of hell. You know, I think that's very fitting that Solomon put that into the instructions of his son when he's talking about spiritual health. The fact that, folks, we must control our mouths. Now, you know what it says here? It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You know, froward there, it means distorted. It means perverse. It means to turn aside or depart. And you know, folks, whether it's our own mouth saying twisted or perverse things, or if it's someone around us maybe that is uttering those things. Folks, what the Bible says, notice what he says here. He doesn't say just to, you know, over time deal with it. You know what he says? Put far from thee. Put away. Put far from thee. Folks, that's a pretty strong command there. God says, put it away. Don't you know, nurture it along. Put it away. And then he goes a step further and says, just don't put it away. Put it far from you. Folks, we as Christians, we must learn to use our tongues for right. How many times have, you know, we've said something and wish we could take it back? And you know, y'all heard the illustration. It's like Pastor Ross used this so many times, like taking an old feather pillow, tearing the feather open and turning the fan on the pillow, letting the feathers go. Oh, you probably maybe eventually could pick up all the feathers, but it's going to take a long time, a lot of effort to do so, and you probably won't even get them all. Folks, we must be careful with our words. The Bible says to put away a perverse mouth from you. Put it far away. And, when it's talking about there, it's talking about a distorted or a perverse, a distorted from the truth. This isn't just talking about, and it is talking about, someone who may be talking not appropriate or off color, but it's talking about people who distort the truth also. Folks, the Bible says put that far from you. Why do you think God says to not even to let a false prophet in your house? Why do you think he says that? Because the power that the words can do to deceive people. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was telling me that he ran into a couple of boys who were Mormons. Probably the same two that have been riding their bikes here through Linton. And they said he ran into them, and he was talking to them. And, he said it was such a shame because these boys were so committed to their cause, yet so deceived. And how many times do we see that, folks? Whether it's a false cult like Mormonism, which, by the way, if you've never studied where Mormonism come from, you ought to check that out sometime. Joseph Smith, the founder of that, you know where he got the Book of Mormon from? When he was on drugs doing an occult experience. He was heavily involved in the occult. He was hallucinating on drugs and wrote the Book of Mormon. And these folks are committed to this cause. You know, folks, people are deceived. But, you know, we must put that stuff far from us. A perverse lips and perverse lips and a froward mouth put far from us. God says, put it away. So we said, first of all, Solomon commanded his son for spiritual health to keep his heart. Number two, to control his mouth. Let's look at the next principle he told his son. Let's look at the next verse, 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. He said this, son, look at the right things. Look at the right things. You know, that's not, you know, there's more to it, folks. You got to be able to study things out to know exactly what God's saying there. But it's more than just, you know, when you're in the Walmart checkout line, just, you know, not having to look down to the side, okay? It's talking about more than that. It's talking more about just not watching, you know, something on TV you're not supposed to watch, okay? It means to stay focused on the things that you're doing. Okay? It doesn't matter what's going on around you or what someone else is doing, but it's talking about staying focused on the things that are straight before us. Now, we can also, folks, of course, we know Bible principles teach us not to put evil things before our eyes. But Solomon's telling his son, he says, son, you need to stay focused. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We, once again, can look to our great example. And let's look and see what Christ did. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2. You know, that's a pretty good thing to look at, stay focused on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, lots of times in the Bible, God won't just command us to do something. He sometimes will give us the reasons behind that or give us an example of someone doing that. And God knows how human nature is. He knows sometimes that we need some stuff being backed up by examples or further on. So he goes on to do that. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what it's talking about there? Why did Jesus endure the cross? Why? For the joy that was set before him. He was focused on his mission of Calvary, folks. He stayed focused. And as he was climbing Golgotha's hill with the weight of the cross on his back, he was focused on one thing, making it up to Golgotha. And by the way, folks, I know we've been sold a lie on this thing here, and sometimes we all say, in fact, I even said this till someone corrected me, but Jesus never fell under the weight of the cross. You won't find that in the Bible, by the way. It's not there. I've looked. The Bible never says that Jesus fell under the weight of the cross. And it does say, of course, that Simon helped bear the cross, but he didn't fall under the weight of the cross, but he stayed focused on Calvary. Why? For the joy that was set before him. And you know what, folks? We must look at and stay focused on the right things. You know, as Christians, we need to stay focused on some things. You know, Christians need to stay focused on our ultimate goal of being like Christ. Didn't just Pastor Jerry teach us that the other night? What is our goal? Is it to be like the latest movie star or the latest fad out in the world or go look at the latest fashion magazine and make that our pattern? No. Our ultimate goal as Christians is to be like Christ. And every day we need to stay focused on that fact, that it's our goal to be like Christ. Of course, Hebrews 12:2, we just read it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who we're supposed to look to, folks. That's who our example is supposed to be. It's supposed to be Christ. We need to stay focused on that. We need to stay focused on being faithful unto the end. You know, folks, God is mighty interested in how we finish. Very, very interested. You know, it's just important, if not more important to God, that we finish right. Now, of course, you can't finish until you start. Obviously, that makes sense, okay? You can't finish something until you start it. But folks, you know, it's not just good enough to start doing what's right and then when the storms of life come or circumstances come, to detour from that. And you know what? I mean, you know, folks, God is interested in how we finish. What did the Apostle Paul say? Of course, over in 2 Timothy 4:7, I've kept the faith. I have what? I've finished my course. He finished. And folks, God wants us to finish. So we must stay focused on being faithful till the end. Stay focused on staying, being faithful till the end. And something else I believe a Christian should focus on. And folks, if we would just focus on this one thing right here, it would change our lives spiritually. If we will focus on the fact that there's eternity waiting. Have you ever stop and think about eternity? I love talking about eternity. I think in every one of my messages, I mention this somewhere because it's just something that excites me. But folks, think about eternity. Think about it. Think about how short we live on this earth compared to how long eternity is going to be. Think about that. Think about that all God asks us to do is give us faithful, be faithful down here on this earth while we have time, and He will reward us for all eternity. Think about that. Well, you know what motivates me lots of times to do things that's right and serve God when I don't feel like doing what's right? Is the fact that eternity is coming. It's what Pastor Ross mentioned last Wednesday night in his message that I never forgot when I was just a young teenage boy when he preached it, living with one eye on the judgment. Always realizing that we're going to stand before God one of these days. Amen. Folks, whether we realize it or not, whether we think about it or not, doesn't matter how backslidden a Christian may get. If you're saved, if I'm saved, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll give an account for the stewardship that He's given us. Now folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be found wanting. You know, why play the game of the Christian life? Well, you know, that's what I don't get. I mean, if you're going to do the Christian life, okay, if you're going to live it, if you decide that's the path you're going to take, why be half in and half out? I mean, if you're going to live it and have to, you know, endure the things and face the things, which you know, by the way, probably isn't a whole lot compared to what a lot of people have been through. But if you're going to pay the price and be a Christian, why don't we just be a Christian all the way? Let's not play this half in, half out game. Let's be real. You know, folks, the world knows whether you're real or not. You know, the world knows whether I'm real or not. Folks, let's be real. Let's do this thing called the Christian life first. Let's stay focused on eternity. What's the Bible say? Set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. How many times in the Bible does God remind us? Eternity, eternity, eternity. It's all going to be worth it. Eternity, eternity. Folks, stay focused on eternity. So let's look on the right things. Let's not let circumstances or maybe a person or maybe hard times or whatever it may be sidetrack us from the straight path. That's the way we're supposed to be heading. So first of all, Solomon said this, son, keep your heart. Son, control your mouth. Son, look at the right things. Stay focused. And next of all, we find this. Let me get back to Proverbs here. In the next verse, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. He's saying, son, walk the right path. You know, if Solomon had to command his son to walk the right path, don't you think there's a wrong path? Yeah. If he commanded his son to walk the right path, then there must be a wrong path. You know, I'm amazed how many people I talk to out visiting or soul winning or just people out in the world. Everybody thinks they're right. You know, whether they believe the Bible or not, they think they're right. Folks, either they're going to heaven and I'm not, or I'm going to heaven and they're not, because we're not believing from the same book. Okay? You know, try to convince someone who believes in work salvation or baptism salvation that they're wrong. Most of the time you can't do it, because they're dead set that they're right. Well, either they're going to heaven by being baptized, or I'm not going to heaven because I haven't been baptized for my salvation. Or I'm going to heaven because I'm trusting in Christ alone, or they're not. Folks, there's a right path and there's a wrong path. It's not a matter of all roads lead to the same place. It's not like Rome, all roads lead to Rome. That ain't the way heaven is, folks. There's one way. And folks, there's one path that we need to walk on our Christian life. You know, the word ponder here, once again, when you study this, very interesting. Ponder means to roll flat or prepare. It means to, and then the word established there means to be fitted, to be fixed. It means to set aright or to stand. That what this verse literally means is this. It means to prepare the way you're going to walk, so that when you begin down that path, your ways may be fitted or sure. Let me read that one more time. It literally means to prepare the way you're going to walk, so that when you begin to walk that path, your ways may be fitted or sure. You know, it's your job, young people, when you're young, to prepare so that when you begin your journey in life and you begin heading the right way, that you'll be able to accomplish that. It's your job as young people to prepare. You know what? That's why it's important to give God your youth. Because, folks, when you give God your youth, you can prepare in your youth to walk the path when you get out in life. And you know what? You have a little bit easier time walking that path. How many times growing up did I hear my dad say, "Son, there's two ways you can do it, the easy way or the hard way. If you choose the hard way, it's going to be hard. If you choose the easy way and listen to me, it's going to be a little bit easier for you." And you know what? Thank goodness. A lot of things I did listen to my dad, some things I didn't. And guess what? I learned the hard way. And you know what, folks? That's the way life is. Young people, listen to people who've been there. Don't choose the hard path. If you will take your youth and use it to prepare your path when you're older, you won't have to face a lot of the things that these older folks who didn't have their youth to give to the Lord that have to face. Take your youth and prepare. That's what Solomon's telling his son. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Prepare them so that when you start on the path, you can walk sure. And you know what, folks? That can apply to all of you. Say, "Well, I didn't get saved to older in life." That's okay. Yeah, we got to go from where we're at, folks. But all of us, let's walk the right path. Let's head the right way. Let's walk the path where our footing is sure. You know, folks, the right way is the straight way. It's not the crooked way. And you know what? The straight way is not always the fun way. But it is the right way. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. I want you to see this. Very interesting here. It talks about John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3. Now this is talking about the ministry of John the Baptist. Verse 4 says this. As is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Let's read that one more time. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." You know, folks, John was preparing the straight path. What was he preparing the straight path with? Now, this is talking about a spiritual condition here. And John wasn't out there with a bulldozer and a shovel plowing the mountains down. It's not what it's talking about. He's talking about helping to prep the spiritual condition for the fact when Christ was going to come. What was he using to make the path straight? He was preaching Christ. He was using that to make the path straight. He was the forerunner. He was preaching about Christ. And he was getting the people ready for when he came. You know, folks, Jesus is interested in the straight path. That's the way he wants us to go. That's what John did. He used the preaching of Christ to get the path straight. You know, folks, Jesus is the straight path. That is the way that we're supposed to go. Christ is. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Folks, the truth is the straight path. That is the right path. If you stay on the right path, you'll stay on the true path. The true path is the right path. You know what? Let's not just stay on the straight path, but let's do right while we're on the straight path. You know, it's not just enough, folks, to be saved. Once you're saved, you have entered the straight path. And you're heading to heaven once you're saved. But you know what? God doesn't want you just to walk the straight path. He wants you to do right while you're walking the straight path. He wants us to not just walk the straight path, but do the things that are right while we're walking the straight path. You know, it's very interesting here. In closing, in the conclusion here. Notice what all of these things have in common here. Look at the things that Solomon's talked about to his son here. He's talked about the heart. He's talked about the mouth. He's talked about the eyes. He's talked about the feet. What do all those have in common? They're all part of our body, aren't they? You know, that's not by accident, folks. That's not by accident that Solomon commanded his son to keep his heart, his mouth, his eyes, and his feet. You know, folks, to be physically healthy, we must take care of our body, don't we? I mean, you know, if we just, you know, just took a shower like we come to church three times a week, would we smell very good? I don't think so. In fact, you know, my wife, I don't understand her, but when I come home from work, she doesn't want to, you know, give me a hug and a kiss till I go take a shower, you know. She says I stink, and I tell her that's the smell of money. But, you know, regardless, she's adamant before I sit down and relax and get cozy with her that I go take a shower. Why? Because I stink. You know, I had to take a shower tonight before I came because I didn't smell too good. You know what, folks? It takes daily maintenance to keep our physically where we need to be. What would happen if we just brushed our teeth the way we came to church? Brush your teeth three times a week. You'd have what I tell the Christian school kids you have macaroni teeth, okay? And it wouldn't be very pretty, would it? Our teeth would be nasty and yellow and gunky. And you know what, folks? You know, it takes more than just in the Christian life come to church three times a week to stay spiritually healthy. Now, that's part of it. We're commanded. We must come to church. But, folks, it takes more than that. It's more than just showing up, putting your time in and clocking out, and expect to be this healthy, robust Christian. Ready to go out and fight the devil. It takes daily maintenance. Just like taking a shower, brushing your teeth, putting on deodorant. Those are things you must do daily. It's a daily dose of the Bible and walking with God and doing the things we're supposed to do that keeps us spiritually healthy. So, what is the great physician's prescription? What is the prescription that we've learned tonight that God says to keep you spiritually healthy? Keep your heart, control your mouth, look at the right things, and walk the right path. Now, folks, none of us have arrived, have we? None of us are going to do these things, you know, perfectly the way we should. But, folks, we must be on that straight path. We must be striving to do the things God wants us to do. And I promise you this, it's very interesting. You know, when you're doing these things and you're applying them to your spiritual condition, it's not an accident that that will affect your physical health also. Folks, God knows what He's doing. Bible principles affects a lot of things. You know, how did Israel, you know, the commands that God gave Israel back in the Old Testament to abstain from certain things and to clean themselves after certain things, you know what? That helped keep them healthy. They were a healthy people because they applied Bible principles. And folks, just not physically, but also spiritually. It's vital for our spiritual health. Now, folks, we need spiritually healthy Christians. You know, it'd be hard to go out and try to do battle with the devil if you got a broken leg, a broken arm, and, you got a migraine. You ain't going to stand against the devil very well. That's why, once again, when you go back to Ephesians, it talks about the armor of God. What's that do? It protects your spiritual body. God's very interested in the things that protects us spiritually so that we can be strong spiritually, so we can do battle for Him. So let's keep our hearts. For out of it are the issues of life. Let's control our mouths. Let's look at the right things. And let's walk the right path. Now, folks, just as I said a while ago in my prayer, it's not just good enough to hear what the Bible says, is it? That's not what God wants. He wants us to hear it. Hearing's the first step, but it goes beyond just hearing. God wants us also to be doers of the Word. So let's apply these things. Let's take them this week. Let's apply them so that we can be spiritually healthy Christians. Let's pray.